All right, so today, excuse me, I kind of have two different pieces here, but the first part is out of Matthew 25, where it talks about the parable of the talents, and I titled the message, Talents, Using Them Wisely. And I think the worship team, the last song there and how you wrapped that up, I just had to think, like, we all have strengths and gifts and talents, but the beauty of this is that, like, it's not... We're not called to use those selfishly for ourselves, and it's also not just for using those gifts and talents for, let's say, Providence, PCF here at church. It is to further the kingdom of God and impact the lives in this world. So that's the encouraging thing for me. I have a... Figure out which way this thing goes. There we go. So I'll start with Matthew 25, verse 29. For to everyone who has more will be given, and they will have an abundance, but from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. I think that is just, you know, when we look at that verse, the importance that it brings out that what we do have, we have to be very intentional. I'll move this guy a little bit. We have to be very intentional and invest those talents to further the kingdom of God. We cannot just... keeping to ourselves and not share those. So with that, I'm going to go ahead and read the passage in Matthew 25. Feel free to follow along. But I'm going to start in Matthew 25, verse 14, the parable of the talents. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability, and immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled the accounts with them. So he who had received the 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you a ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He also who had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But the Lord answered and said to him, You wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed, so you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So I'm going to go through the couple different points here, and I've kind of broken it down into 4 main points based on the scripture and the passage there. So the first one, before we get into the points, is harnessing our heavenly gifts. I think if we look at that passage, we can clearly see that this is also a reflection of our lives and the gifts and the talents that we have. God, our Heavenly Father, has given each of us unique gifts and talents. Like, that is so unique and that is so beautiful. I just had to think, Ani, I'm going to pick on you. But, like, I just enjoy seeing you up here with the worship team and just seeing that come out through you. Like, you can see it in your face that you enjoy doing that. That's a gift I don't have. That's beautiful. So embrace those gifts and use them. These are not just physical or intellectual abilities, but also spiritual gifts, opportunities and resources, and even the circumstances of our lives on a day-to-day basis. God knows our strengths and abilities that we have. Are we taking inventory of those? Do we know what those are, and are we intentional in using those? So let's look at the first two servants, the one with the five and the two talents. What was something they did right away? When they were given those talents, they immediately went to work. They took those talents that they were given, and they went to work with them. They used the talents, and they didn't waste any time. They didn't ask questions. They didn't compare each other to, you know, hey, you have more talents than I have, and start the whole comparison game. They immediately went to work. The one with the one talent, he was afraid, so he hid the talent in the ground. He didn't use it at all. He held on to it tightly. Fear can paralyze and prevent us from using our gifts, but we should not let fear control us. We should not hide our gifts, but use them boldly and confidently. When I was thinking about the boldly and confidently, I had to ask myself the question, like, Do we try to keep our gifts and our talents and our strength? Do we hold on to those in a humble idea of, like, we don't want to look like we're trying to be perceived at X, you know, whatever that might be? Or are we actually claiming those gifts and using them? Because there's a danger on trying to be too humble and not use those gifts. So, this thing is, let me back up here a little bit. So we look at when the master came back, he settled the accounts. The ones who used their talents were rewarded, while the one who hid his talent is punished. We will be held accountable for the gifts that we have and the ones that we do not use. If we hide those and do not use those to further the kingdom of God, the day is coming where we're going to be held accountable for that. So what does that mean? How should we respond to, what can we take away from the passage? I'm going backwards. I'll figure this thing out. So the first point is, I have them broken down into kind of four different points. The first one is, we need to recognize and acknowledge the gifts that God has given us. How do we take inventory and how do we be intentional about, because we're all different, we're unique. That's the beauty of it. But how do we take inventory of the gifts and the talents that we have and be intentional with using those? We need to see these as not as random elements of our lives, but gifts that God has entrusted us. God has created each and every one of us in a very unique way. Let's claim that. The second point is, we need to use action. We need to use our gifts. We need to put them to work, to use them to serve God and others. This might mean using our physical or intellectual abilities to help those in need. It might mean using the resources for the work of the church. It might mean witnessing to others and for God's love and grace. The third point talks about the fear. We need to overcome the fear. Fear cannot stop us from using our gifts. It can make us hide them away, just like the servant who hid his talent in the ground. We need to remember that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and self-discipline. We need to trust in Him and embrace those and use the gifts. The fourth point, we need to remember that we will be held accountable. One day we will have to answer to God for how we used our gifts. We need to live our lives with this in mind, striving to use our gifts in a way that will please God. I just had to think when I was thinking about that, like, think about that day, once that day will come. Sometimes I think kind of two different areas maybe. On this earth while we're here, and I'll get into this a little bit if I have time later on, but like, as humans, and I think especially in this American lifestyle, we have this tendency to do the comparison game, which then leads into fear. And I'm always comparing. It doesn't matter where we are in life, we can always find somebody to compare us to. And I always think, like, wouldn't that, my biggest regret would be if I'm so busy comparing and trying to meet certain standards or live a certain life because I'm stuck in this comparison game, and one day I wake up and I have gray hair like Marvin. No, just kidding. I'm very well seasoned and old. And my wife and I look at each other and, like, we're not closer together as a couple. We don't have the relationships with our kids that we would want to have because we were so busy during the earlier season in life. Like, that would just be a regret that would just burn me up. I look at that from the other perspective of, you know, one day we're gonna meet our Heavenly Father, and my biggest regret would be if I would have a conversation with him and he would say, you know, you could have done a lot more. I had bigger plans for you, but you didn't use your talents. We want to hear those words, well done, my good and faithful servant. So the master's response on the two, his response to the first two servants is the same. He praises them for their good and faithful service. He rewards them by entrusting them with more. And this shows that when we use our talents to honor God, he will entrust us more. He will grow our gifts. The third servant is drastically different. He rebukes him for his fear and inaction and takes away the talent that he had been given. Don't hoard, but invest. These gifts and talents are not simply for our personal gain, but for the benefit of others and the glory of God. The servants who were given talents didn't just keep them safe and sound and unused. They put them to work. I think when I look at all this, like, the one thing that comes out to me is this: in order for us to, how do we invest the gifts and the talents we were given where they have compound interest during this life? It's easier for us to think, well, if I put X amount of money into a certain fund, whatever that might be, I know I get X interest and that compounds over a span of time. How do we do that for the gifts and the talents we're given on this earth? I think the other thing, it requires us to step outside of our comfort zone sometimes. Embrace those gifts and use them. C.S. Lewis has a quote: the great thing, if one can, is to stop regarding all the unpleasant things as interruption of one's own or real life. The truth is, of course, that what one calls the interruptions are precisely one's real life. The life God is sending one as a person day by day. How do we look at the interruption that we call the interruptions throughout our life? Are we so structured and focused and, like, trying to do our own thing that we chalk them up as interruptions, or are we seeing those as opportunities to use our gifts? Using our talents wisely requires active engagement and effort. It is not simply enough to recognize our talents, we also must put them to work. We are called to invest our talents wisely for the glory of God and the benefit of others. I'm going to end with, it did not work. There we go. I'm going to end with a kind of a statement for conclusion, and I'm going to jump into real quick kind of the other part of this. God has given each of us unique talents and abilities. They're not just for us to keep hidden away, but to use, to grow, and to share with the world. God's love is reflected in these gifts, and the trust he places in us is to use them wisely. If God would not trust us with the gifts that we have, he would not have given them to us. Let's embrace them and use them. I'm going to jump over to another kind of story illustration that I'm going to share with you guys, and I'll move through this fairly fast just for the sake of time. There we go. I apologize to Matt earlier because Matt has already seen this, but I thought it just fits in really good with kind of the talents and the gifts and everything. But it's basically, it's called The Sink, and it's based around a story of two individuals. Before I get into the story, I'll start with a statement. Let everyone sweep in front of his own door, and the whole world will be clean. When you make the world a little better, you advance us all. When I make the world a little better, when I make the church a little bit better, by doing whatever that might be, the small thing, we make all of us better. So the story goes, there was two individuals that were traveling, they were flying, and they got to their destination, they got to the airport, they both went into the restroom. And the one guy seen the other guy at the sink washing his hands, and after he's done washing his hands, he starts wiping down and cleaning the sink, not just where he was washing his hands, but the entire sink. And the guy that was cleaning the sink was well-dressed in a suit and tie. He was obviously some executive with some big company, but not the typical guy you would see wiping down the sink. So the other guy looks at him jokingly and says, "First day on the job?" And the guy's replies back with, "You know, it's not a bad idea to leave things a little better than how you find them, how you found them." That was his comment. So he was intentional about whatever he did, just making it a little bit better than what he found it. Little actions can achieve big results. So the question is, what if I adopted this philosophy of life in everything that I do? What would it look like if everyone left things better than they found them as a way of life? What would it look like if I would be very intentional with the gifts that I have and actually using them every day? Our relationships would be stronger, richer, better. If a gift that I have, or any one of us has, is to encourage people, what if I'm very intentional about making sure that every day I speak those words of life into one person, four people? Our work would be more fulfilling, energizing, and profitable. Nobody wants to go to a place of work or any kind of organization or get-together that everybody's just down and not helping each other. Our world would be cleaner, kinder, more peaceful. I think this goes back into using our gifts. If we use our gifts and we're intentional, we will have an impact on the world. On a simple level, leaving things better than you found them may look like telling someone you admire about them, what you admire about them, teaching someone a skill you have, passing a great book you've read, refilling the copy paper, picking up trash, planting more flowers, mentoring a child who has no mentors. I think there's so many of us that have, I just had to think the other day, we had life group the other evening, and Merlin was sharing that he's helping Andy out, and conversation happened, and I just had to think to myself, you know what? Andy has a completely different business that I don't really know that much about. But what he does is very unique and very special. And I think the opportunity, like there's people that would just love to hear the story of what works for Andy and how he's done that. That is a gift that he has. On a bigger level, leaving things better than you found them may look like organizing a neighborhood cleanup, writing a book to inspire people. I'll be the first one to admit I never even thought about writing a book until I was going through this. I'm like, that'd be kind of cool to write a book. Coming up with a solution, not just fixes. Taking a trip with a relief organization, making your workplace better. So the question is, will you make the commitment to leaving everyone you encounter better than you found them? I'm going to go through the actionable roadmap on the sink. And it's broken down with sense the need, invest yourself, nullify the need, and keep it going. So the first one, sense the need. Stop right now and look around you. Listen to the sounds around you. What are some opportunities to leave things better than you found them? Be aware of your surroundings. How often when we're just aware and we actually look for opportunities around us, are there very small things that we can do that will just change and impact a person? The second one, invest in yourself. It's easy to have the attitude, it's not my job, I'll get it later. I would help, but someone else will take care of it. I did my part. How easy is it to have an attitude similar to that through our busy life? It's not my job, I did my part. Nullify the need. Once you set a change in motion, take full responsibility to set it come to fruition. Like the captain of a ship, navigate through the choppy waters. Use your resources around you. I think that's directly where it ties in with using the gifts and the abilities that we have to make things better. Remember that the needs that seem small to you may be very significant to another person. I think that's a very, it's so easy to think, well, to almost downplay or to think whatever I'm good at or the strength that I might have, that doesn't mean a lot to anybody else. Like, no, embrace that. You're designed the way you are designed for a reason. And then the last one is keep it going. The SYNC principle is a way of life to be shared. You don't just teach it, you live it out. Demonstrate it. Inspire, train, and encourage others to leave things in conversations better than they found it. Pay it forward. The SYNC principle means there will be times you will need to do the hard things. What's your personal action plan to leaving things better than you found them? I just had to think, like, there will be times when things, to do the hard things. How easy is it for us that we're traveling, we need fuel, the kids are grumpy, everybody's tired, we pull in the gas station, we go in and get coffee. Last thing I want to do is tell whoever's behind the counter, try to encourage their day. Like, I need encouragement. No, like, that's when we have to do the hard things and be intentional. Sometimes it's the simplest encounters that make the most significant changes in your life. So, what would the world look like if we all left things better than we found them? There's only one way to find out. Go find your SYNC and use your talents. The SYNC is not just a philosophy, but a service and an excellence program. Ritz-Carlton is famous for applying this principle of excellence to their entire organization. We are ladies and gentlemen serving ladies and gentlemen. That's why when you go to a Ritz-Carlton, you have the experience you have. They have that mindset. Never forget that you are one of a kind. Never forget that if it was not a need for you in all your uniqueness on this earth, you wouldn't be here in the first place. And never forget that no matter how overwhelming life's challenges and problems seem to be, one person can make a difference in the whole world. So I'm going to end with the question, what's your SYNC? Use your talents. What are your talents? How are you going to embrace those and use them? Don't get too busy just in life. Be intentional. With that, Tim, do you have a closing worship? Okay. I'll stand with me, and I'll close with a word of prayer, and then worship team, you guys can come up. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning, and we just say thank you for another day, for another opportunity to gather together into fellowship. And Father, I just ask you that you would be with each and every one of us as we go through this journey in life as we continue to connect with people. And Father, I just pray that you would prompt that in our heart today, that whatever those gifts are that we have as individual people, that we can embrace those gifts, that we can use them to further your kingdom. And for us to remember that it's not for us to keep those gifts. We'll use those to encourage and equip and further the kingdom of you and to expand the church. And Father, just help us that we can embrace those gifts and use them to be more impactful and to change the lives of people that we interact with. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.